been a taxing weekend on us. We're still getting, as most of you know, we're still getting, trying to get moved into a house and been working on painting and all that stuff. And I got to working yesterday and I was standing up for most of the day and I didn't realize my shoes, my feet were swelling inside my shoes. And directly my feet started hurting so bad I had to sit down and take my shoes off, and then got home and I couldn't hardly walk. And I found out what it was is the tops of my shoes, there was actually little marks where the laces are on top of my feet where the pressure had pushed down so far. Felt like I had a hairline fracture or something. It was hurting. I'm kind of hobbling around today, so y'all just pray for me. But I got to thinking about that on the way home, you know, trying to think about a message. This week, me and my dad's been in revival. We had us a real good revival down there in Alpine, Tennessee at Fallen Springs Church. And it was the first revival I ever got to hold with my dad, so it was a very, very special thing for me. We had people coming every night, and I don't know if there's anybody saved. As far as I know, there's just people coming to the altar getting needs met. But the Spirit was moving, and it was a wonderful place to be, and some wonderful singing and wonderful preaching messages. And then we, yesterday, like I said, we went to the house and started working on things. And I'm just glad that we're here today in the house of the Lord, and the Lord has blessed us with another beautiful day. I remember when we was here last time, when it was Easter, and I told my wife, as soon as I pulled up, I said, I think I see another egg in that tree out there. So there's another egg hiding out there somewhere. But I really enjoyed that day. It was a beautiful day. He's given us another beautiful day today. And enjoyed these songs. You know, I like that song, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. You know, we better be on the battlefield for the Lord today. And that song says, I promised him that I would serve him until I die. And that's the kind of commitment, that's the kind of covenant we make as Christians when we give our hearts to him, is that in exchange for his life he gave for us, we give our lives to him in dedication so that one day we could be reunited together in heaven. And I just thank the Lord for getting to be here today. If you've got your Bibles, turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Like I said, last night we was driving home, and as I was trying to ponder what to preach on after two or three messages this week already, sometimes it's hard to figure out what the Lord had you preach on next, but I began to ponder that on the way home as my foot was a-throbbing, and I got to thinking about the different members and how, you know, when you hurt yourself somewhere, like you say, you get a cut somewhere, or like I said, if I hurt my foot, a lot of times we tend to favor that over everything else. In 1 Corinthians, we're going to start reading there in verse 1, and we'll talk about just a little bit, and the Lord being our helper, about the members of the church. And, you know, like I said, sometimes if you hurt your foot, you start favoring that. You start limping on that, trying to give it a little bit of comfort there, a little bit of ease of pain. And as this goes on to say later on, if one suffers, then all of us suffer. Amen. That's the way it is with the body of Christ and the members of the church being the body of Christ. So we're going to read that whole chapter. It won't take too long. And we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. It says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but of the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh in all. I like how he words that. He gives us three different words to describe what's going on. He says there are different kinds of gifts, there's differences between administrations, and there's different kinds of operations. There might be different things involved, but the Lord is the same Lord over all those things. I mean, he's still in charge. He still knows what's going on. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Amen. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another the faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, I like the way that reads there. He's given us an example of all the different kind of gifts. And remember, he prefaced that by saying there's different kinds of gifts and administrations and operations. Amen. He's talking about how there's different kinds that the Lord gives to one person, and he gives another person a different kind of gift or a different kind of administration or operation, if you will. He's talking about in verse, I believe it says in verse 8, it says, one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge by the Spirit. And he said to another the faith by the same Spirit. So all these gifts given to us are given by the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's the one that's kind of like the superior, the supervisor, you might see, the overseer, the foreman that gives the gifts. But notice in verse 7, he says, this manifestation, the showing up of these gifts of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. I'm glad that when God gives you something, there's a verse in the Bible, Proverbs over there, it says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. And I'm glad when God gives us something, it's a good gift. Amen. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. Amen. I'm glad that God knows how to get to us exactly what we need. Amen. There's some people in there in the Bible. He talks about it. He's talking. Jesus is talking to him. He said, you know, if you ask your Father a piece of bread, will he give you a stone? Will he give you a serpent in exchange for this other item he mentions? No, God exactly knows exactly what our need is, and he gives us gifts according to those needs, and they are given to profit withal. And he says down here, all worketh, in verse 11, all worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Amen. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, well, because I'm not the eye, then I don't belong in the body. I'm just putting a good old country boy talk. Well, I'm not as good as the eye is, so I guess I'm not a part of the body. He said, is it therefore not of the body, but just because it says that? If the whole body was an eye, where's the hearing? If you had an eye, boy, imagine how ugly you'd be and how really weird you'd look if you're walking down the street and all you was a big old eyeball. Amen. If the whole body was just one eye, then where's the hearing at? If you can see good, but you can't hear, amen, what good is that? How's that going to serve you? Hey, it says if the whole body were hearing, then where's the smelling? It's not a complete body. It's not a completely functioning body. It's not designed to be that way. It's designed to be a complete body, and the Church of Christ is designed to be a complete body as well. It's not just brother so-and-so, that's the best one in the bunch. It's not sister so-and-so. We're all here serving together as one body with diverse gifts. Amen. If you think about it, we have the Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. There are three separate entities, but they are one God. They represent one God. So they work together in harmony. And just like that, the body of Christ, the church, works together in harmony. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. That kind of goes back to verse 17. He gives to every man the gifts severally as he will. So it's according to God's will, and he knows what's best for the body as well. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where was the body? But now they are many members, yet but one body. And if you look at our bodies, we have two hands, we have two arms, we have two eyes, we have two legs, we have 10 toes, we have 2 feet. Amen. Right now I've got about one and a half foot right now, but that's all right. It'll get better and it'll get back to itself. But we have everything in our body exactly as God has made it. And we have many members, but we have one body. So is the church. We have many members. Jesus said, I have sheep that are not of this flock. Amen. All across the world today, people are serving God. Ain't you glad that we're part of one big family? Amen. If you think about it, that's a little bit better way to illustrate it. Amen. We have different family members, but all that family is comprised of aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and mamas and daddies and all these other people that are in the family. Even some of them might be adopted. Well, you know, me and you, as Christians, are adopted. We are grafted in to the family of God. And I'm glad he gave us that opportunity. I'm glad he went to the cross so that we wouldn't be strangers and outcasts. Back in those days, the Jews, the salvation was of the Jews. But if you noticed earlier, he talks about how we was once Gentiles. But with Jews or Gentiles, where we're bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Amen. I'm glad for that today. And he says in verse 21, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, I have no need of you. Now remember, the head of the body is Christ. How sad would it be if the church said, well, I have no need of you? That would be sad. A lot of people today are saying that. They're not members of Christ. They're lost. But they say, I have no need of Christ. I'd rather go out here and worship some other God, or I'd rather just not have any God at all. In that case, themselves, they become their God, or their money becomes their God, or their addictions become their God. Their addictions can't deliver them. We can't deliver ourselves from our troubles. Amen. Only God could do that. But the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Amen. We all have members in our body. We have to have each and every one of them. Amen. It's kind of sad that, you know, people nowadays are talking about evolution and all this stuff. They say, we used to have a tail. You know, as humans, we used to have a tail, but after millions and millions of years, it kind of fell off. And I got to thinking, you know, I heard somebody say, you know how useful a tail would be? You think of them monkeys, they grab them limbs and the tree limbs and they got all hands free. You're out there washing dishes and here comes your tail, puts them up, puts them in the dryer and we're good to go. We're still doing stuff. You know how useful a tail would be? Oh, we don't need that no more. Well, you know how useful these hands are? We can't say, well, I have no need of these hands. We have to have these hands to get by. We see people who have maybe been injured in war and been veterans. This last week during the revival, I saw something I never saw before. There was an Army veteran. He was a young man. He'd been 13 years in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he said, gave us his testimony. He suffered really bad from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. They come back from the war. They've seen so many horrible and horrific things that it just keeps going on in their mind and they can't really deal with it. Well, he said, after a while, his wife began to ask him. She said, why don't you just start singing? You love to sing. Why don't you try to get out and sing? He got where he stayed inside his house all the time and wouldn't get out to see anybody. And directly, a little service dog came along, and he got interested in that and talking about that and said he spent 3 years training with a little service dog. And that service dog was with him in church. As they sung, it had the little service dog vest on, and he had it attached with a leash to his waist. And everywhere he would go, that dog would go. Amen. Everywhere he would go, that dog would follow him because it was attached to him. He had a service dog. That's the first time I ever seen anything like that in church. But it blessed my soul to know that God has made different things and different... All medicine is not pills, friends. Amen. You can go to a psychiatrist. You can talk to them. You can go to a Christian counselor. You can talk to them without having any side effects. Amen. This man's medication was not only God, but God had blessed him with a little service dog, service animal, to help him through his life. Amen. And we can't say to our hand, we can't say to our eye, we can't say to the members of the church, well, because they don't serve a certain function, we don't need them. If they're in God's will and they're part of the family of God, then we desperately need them. I mean, I don't know about you, but I noticed the fact that Robbie's not here this morning. In that sense, he's not the head of the church, he's the shepherd. Christ is the head of the church, but he's the shepherd here. Amen. And when the shepherd is gone, you got to be careful. Amen. He talks about in the Bible, the hireling won't protect the sheep. Amen. If he's hired and he's somebody that don't really care about the sheep, when the wolf comes down the road, he's going to take off and run and leave the sheep by themselves. Amen. But I was honored that Robbie would leave me in here to fill in for him. But I noticed, probably like you do, that he's not here this morning. Amen. You notice when people are out, when people miss church and people are sick and people are dealing with different issues and things like that. Why is that? Because we all feel that we're part of the body of Christ. And I notice when my foot is not exactly well. I notice if I have a headache. My wife's been suffering headache, all these allergies. I can't believe all the pollen that's on the vehicles and the porches and everything this year. It's starting to come out as always been coughing and everything this morning. Amen. We suffer, and when part of our body suffers, we kind of treat it a little bit more tenderly than the rest of it. The rest of the body has to come in and do the best it can to make up the hedge and the gap that's there when one is gone. But look at this, verse 22. This is some really important scripture here. He says, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are just as necessary as those that are stronger. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. In other words, they look better. They they kind of seem more important to us, even though they don't seem important at first. For our comely parts had no need. Remember, Jesus said the sick, those that are well had no need for a physician, but those that are sick do. So those that are comely, those that are healthy, they don't really have as much need as those that are uncomely, that is not as comely. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism. I like that word, no schism in the body. That kind of means like a division or out of place and out of joint. God has tempered it. You know, to temper something, it's a very interesting process. You think about tempering something in the flame, tempering something I've heard of the talk about tempering an egg. You have to really be careful because if you don't pour in a hot liquid into an egg very, very slowly, it scrambles the egg. It cooks it. It won't be able to make the dessert or whatever you're trying to make. It will actually mess up the recipe. So you have to temper. You have to. It's a long process. When you're tempering steel in the fire, they continue to beat it and they continue to bang on it. Amen. Until it gets so strong, and then they'll let it cool down. And they'll do that four or five times, or maybe even more, until it becomes as hard as it can possibly get, so it can be durable and strong. He says here that God has tempered the body. I mean, we go through trials, we go through tribulations. Amen. I believe it was Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. When you go through fire, when you go through the flame, amen, that is there to purify you and to temper you, amen, to make you stronger in the faith. These trials are here to make us stronger in the faith. And they have an old saying, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Amen, I'm glad the devil ain't got me yet, brother. Amen, every trial I've been through has made me stronger in the Lord. Yeah, I might get weak there for just a little bit. Amen. But I can always go back to the Father and always go back to His Word and see what His Word has to say about that particular trial. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And here's what I was talking about earlier in verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. You notice your whole body's out of place. If you get to where you can't walk, your whole body's moving and shifting to compensate. If you're right-handed, I'd say most of us are, and something happens to that hand and we're in a sling the next day, it's going to be tough to try to compensate that, but we got to keep going on. We got to keep moving. Amen. Today, our pastor's not here. Amen. But we got to keep continuing on with what he has taught us. Amen. With what he has preached and the messages and the word that we've learned. Amen. All the things that we've done to this point come together so that we can learn from these things and have no division or no out of placeness in the body. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. There's an old quote that says, shared joy is doubled, shared sorrow is halved. That's kind of like it is. We suffer together, and one is happy and one is joyful. We all feel that joy when we come to celebrate that together. That's what a body does. That's what members of the body does, and that's what the church does. Now, verse 27 says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So you're a body, a whole, and in particular or individually, you're members. He's talking here to the church of Corinth. Amen. They were Gentiles. They were not Jews. They were outcast at first, but they became grafted in and welcomed when Christ came and died on the cross. He became mankind's sacrifice, not just a sacrifice for the Jews only, but for everybody and whosoever will, he became their sacrifice, their mediator, their go-between. And verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So all these things God has set in the church, He has a certain hierarchy to it, a certain order, first, second, third. And He says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? Just because you don't do what this brother or this sister over here does, if everybody was a pastor of the church, it would be chaos because there'd be nobody to lead. Amen. For a leader to happen, there has to be followers. There has to be people, amen, he will take direction and he will listen to the word of God. And if Donald wasn't the song leader, then we would have no song leader. Amen. There's different parts in the body, and all of us can't be a song leader. We talked about harmony. I believe it might have been at Dad's church. I don't know if it was here or at Dad's church. I got into the message and I got to talking about harmony because the boy that I was telling you about, the man that I was telling you about that had the service dog, he's part of a quartet. And they was kind of like a Southern Gospel quartet and kind of give you, put you in the mind of Gold City and the Kingsmen and some of them men. They would sing those kind of old time gospel songs with their backing tracks and everything. And he's talking about all apostles. If all of those are out of harmony, it doesn't sound good at all. It sounds terrible. But if you have harmony, if I played that guitar and it was out of tune, it would not be in harmony anymore. You'd have to fix it. You'd have to tune it up. But when we're in harmony, then we can have a song leader. We can have a pastor. We can have a Sunday school teacher. We can have prayer warriors. We can have all these different things because everything has a certain function for it to all come together. In the car, if you look at a car, we have different parts to a car. If the whole car was a bunch of spark plugs, we wouldn't have a car. If the whole car, amen, was a bunch of other parts that are in the car, I don't know all the parts, I'm not a mechanic or anything like that, but if we had distributor caps and all these other things, then it wouldn't function. This car, each individual part has to work for that car to work. My wife was telling me earlier this weekend, she said, I think my car's doing something weird. It's got a strange sound. And I told her, I said, I didn't hear it this morning. But we got to thinking, we just recently had the oil changed. And how many knows when you get the oil changed, it kind of performs a little different for a while. Before it gets smooth and gets the kinks out of it, it kind of has some little issues at first. And it's got to work through that new oil because it's been so used to drinking that old stuff. And this is something new to it, something foreign to it. And that's the way it is. It, all of us can't be this one thing. All of us can't be song leaders. All of us can't be prophets. All of us can't be apostles and teachers. We have to have every piece of the engine working correctly because if one malfunction, that's all it takes. If one of the parts malfunction, the rest of the car stops. Now, a car is an inanimate object. It's made of a bunch of different components, so it can't take care of that one part. We have to fix it. But our body is a living thing. And if one part of our body malfunctions, it affects the rest of the body. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes if I was to sit here and nurse this foot the whole time, I might be leaned over like this trying to hobble. And guess what? Then my back starts to suffer. So you have to be really careful. That's why the Bible talks about if you see a brother overtaking a fault, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We have to take care and work on our own salvation while we're helping the body recover if there's any kind of injury or anything like that. Now, I know I'm using a lot of physical examples and things like that, but I hope you're thinking spiritually. When I say the body, I'm hoping that you're thinking about the body of Christ. Amen. We have somebody that suffers, we suffer with it. We show compassion. Amen. Because that person is a part of us, a part of that same family. So all of us can't be the same gift bearers. But he says in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. We've already heard about all the different diversities of gifts and administrations and operations. Amen. He begins to tell us that the same Spirit has given us all these gifts to profit, not only to profit with ourselves, but to profit the kingdom of God. We've heard about how God gives to every man severally as he will these gifts. And then as those gifts come, we have the body of Christ and the members which exercise those gifts. The body is one body, and if one suffers, we all suffer. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. And God has tempered the body so there'll be no schism in the body, so it'll be fitly joined together. And now Paul says, after all this, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. There is an excellent way. Instead of worrying about gifts and all that stuff, there's one thing that you can do. Amen. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And he talks about that in the next chapter. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter of the Bible. He basically tells us that love conquers all things. Amen. There's faith and hope and charity, which is love. Love is the greatest. Instead of trying to be jealous about what so-and-so does and about what their gift is, we should love one another. That's what it all comes down to. Our love for our brethren, our love for our family of Christ. And I encourage you today, as a family of Christ, as a church that's a family, amen, call one another, talk to one another. Amen. Don't be just a Sunday only kind of church. You kind of fellowships on Sunday. See what everybody's doing through the week. And, you know, the Lord has blessed us in a community. I met one of our neighbors a couple weeks ago, and he told me in that community, they have this 4-acre lot that's just dedicated to community events. Amen. Every now and then they'll come together. They'll have like a grill out or they'll have like a bonfire and just people come in. We get to meet our neighbors. And that's it's one thing that's great about church functions and church events is just like we had our Easter egg hunt. But that's time to get in fellowship with one another and talk about how our week's been and everything. But don't just reserve it for Sundays, amen. Come together during the week and I guarantee you'll see a big difference, a big change in how much stronger of your faith grows in Christ yourself, amen. Because as more we interact with each other in the church, we begin to see how Christ would have interacted with us. Amen. How Christ talks to us and how He leads us and guides us. Amen. In our day-to-day lives as we interact with His children. So that's what's been on my heart today. All because of a sore foot. Amen. I'm glad the Lord uses things like that. Amen. The devil might have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. I'm glad to be here this morning. Glad for your attention. And I believe I've cleared my heart this morning. If you have a need, the altar is open. I don't necessarily feel that the leadership to give an altar call, but if you have a need, the altar is open. I thank God for your attention today, and it's been a wonderful day today. I'm glad for the privilege to be here. God bless you. I turn it back over to Brother Terrence.